Our text today is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be reading from verse 18 to 25. Peter's actually addressing slaves in this passage. He says this, "Slaves, submit to yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." This is the word of the Lord. Today we are continuing our series on how to live a new life in an old world. You know, this is the kind of passage that if I wasn't preaching through a book of the Bible, I would probably skip, right? But it's a passage we ought not to skip. And that's the reason why expository preaching all the way through a book, is so powerful, because we address everything in the Word of God. Series, How to Live a New Life in the Old World, is what we're looking at. Our topic today is working for difficult people. Now, in 1 Peter, Peter is talking about the wonderful salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. That's how he begins his book. He tells us that we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. See, he explains that we were born first in the flesh from our human parents, but that we've been born again by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been born to new life in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation within. But we're living in an old creation world, and because of that, there's conflict. We don't fit in. And one of the ways that we don't fit in is just in the work world and in so many relationships. When we are in that work world, sometimes we work for difficult people. Sometimes our bosses are unfair. Human authority make mistakes. And we have to set our hearts on God. This is part of living a new life in the old world. We respond differently to injustice in the world around us than the world does. See, in the United States, our focus is on rights, right? We have a Bill of Rights. And I'm glad I live in this nation. Rights are important. And the Bible does talk about the importance of us being just. But the Bible, and this specifically here in 1 Peter, Peter is focusing on how we should live in this world as exiles, as those that are just passing through, and on the fact that we must live holy lives that glorify God. That's his focus. How can we live in a way that will glorify God, that will adorn the gospel, and will draw other people to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that often requires overlooking offenses. It requires us to return evil with good. And there are certainly limits. I will mention this at the beginning. We shouldn't submit to physical abuse or sexual abuse or clear violations of the law. Paul was a Roman citizen, and when he was unjustly treated, he stood up as a Roman citizen and demanded his rights, and it changed the trajectory of what was happening to him. But some things we can't do anything about. And both Peter and Paul were unjustly beaten and imprisoned, yet they rejoiced. They rejoiced even in their suffering. And so we're coming to a part in this book, actually we've entered into it, where Peter's talking about submission. Ethiopia, talking about our wonderful salvation in Christ Jesus, all that God has given us. And then a few verses ago, he talks about now, in response to that, how are we to live a new life in this old world? And last week, we talked about how we're to submit to governing authorities. Today, we'll talk about submitting in the workplace, and then we'll be talking about submission in marriage and leadership in marriage. The word submission is not popular today, is it? We have in our mind that submission means being subservient, doing things, being enslaved, not being able to do things freely, certainly not being able to do things the way we want to, being controlled. But biblical submission isn't a state of being controlled. Biblical submission is freely chosen out of strength and out of love and in obedience to the Lord. And that makes all the difference. And Peter's instructions here to slaves gives us insight into how employees should act toward their employers. And we'll see that there are some clear correlations there that are real. And because Peter is speaking to people under authority, people that are called to do the bidding of someone else at times, this applies to all relationships when we are under authority. Whether you be a student in a classroom or a military person under an officer, a citizen under civic government. We talked about that last week, but these things apply to that as well. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And the first thing I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about slavery in the New Testament, because it was, when we think about slavery, we think about antebellum slavery, slavery before the Civil War, right, in America. And that's what we have in mind. But slavery in the New Testament was quite different. For one thing, slavery in the New Testament had absolutely nothing to do with race. In fact, people of all races were free, and in authority, people of all races were enslaved. That was irrelevant to it. In a lot of ways, it was an economic situation. It was common, very common. And it was far more humane, by and large. Slaves lived relatively normal lives. They actually lived with the family, usually, of which they were slaves. And the master was responsible to take care of their basic needs. They lived in the same home. They were fed, cared for, clothed. And they could rise to great levels of responsibility. We read in the Bible of slaves that oversaw entire households and were very responsible in managing affairs. While slaves did have to do the bidding of their master, an honorable slave could often dialogue with his master about something, giving his input. And they were treated like part of the family, oftentimes. And they could advance in life. But there were times when some slaves were mistreated. And Peter is addressing this. Another thing about slaves is a lot of the slavery in the New Testament was indentured slavery, meaning that a person who owed a significant debt would sell himself as a slave to a master and then work off his debt by working for his master over an agreed amount of time. Other slaves were bought outright and didn't have that option of being free. And when they were harshly treated, which was not super common, there was really no legal recourse. It just is the way it was. Now, the Bible makes it clear that slavery was not God's plan. And the abolitionists in our nation saw that. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, talking about, actually, the context is marriage, but he has a side where he's talking about living, accepting the state in which you were called to Christ. He says in verse 21, "Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's free person. Similarly, the one who was free when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings." God's highest will was for believers to be free, for all people to be free, so that we could freely follow the Lord. But in the first century, slavery was a reality. In fact, we know from sources that perhaps the majority of Christians were slaves. Certainly a high percentage of them were. And so facing this reality, both Peter and Paul gave wise advice to slaves concerning how to live. As I mentioned, aspects of slavery are analogous to the situation of the person under any authority that must be obeyed. Whether it be in the military, you know, the person in the military, and several of you have been in the military, you know, you have freedom in the military, but the freedom is limited, and you must obey your commanding officer. Students in the classroom, you have freedom, but there's also a limitation of your freedom, and there's contexts of life where you have more freedom. And the same is true in the workplace. There is a degree of freedom, but there's also limitations. Now, while slavery in the New Testament was physical slavery, the New Testament talks about a much deeper slavery than slavery to a human master. And that's slavery to sin. And this is a far more, a darker and more sinister slavery. Indeed, the slaves in the New Testament, Paul says this, we just read this in 1 Corinthians 7, those who were slaves in the New Testament, if they were in Christ Jesus, they were freer, truly freer, than people who were freemen. Why? Because they had been set free within from the power of sin. And those who are freemen, like so everyone in America now, with some rare exceptions against the law, we're free outwardly. But many of us struggle with a deep slavery to sin that destroys us. And we find that we don't have freedom to act against those destructive impulses. They can control us until we get set free by Jesus. And the Son has set you free. You are free indeed. And so when the Lord sets us free, we're free. Free to obey God from our hearts. And so the Bible teaches us that we are free slaves. Now, I know that is an oxymoron, but it's true. We are. Just a few verses before the passage that we read this morning, Peter says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves." Peter, addressing all people, tells all of us, live as God's slaves and live as free people. And so in our text, as he's addressing slaves, he's telling them, in this same context, live as free people. Jesus has set you free. Now, there are times you don't feel free because you're receiving a direct command from a person above you. But you are free within. So how does a free person respond to a command? Well, they respond with the understanding that they truly have a choice. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells us that we should submit to people over us as we submit to the Lord. In other words, in a conscious awareness that we are submitting to God. Because all authority comes from God. So whenever you receive a command from someone in authority, you put it through that filter. That command is coming from God through your employer. And so when you obey, you're obeying God and honoring Him. You have a choice to obey God as you obey your employer. And that makes all the difference in the world. It makes a difference in the attitude with which you respond and the sense of freedom with which you respond. And as we honor the authority above us, joyfully we honor God as well. And so Peter addresses us as freemen, but also as slaves. We're free within, we're free from sin, but Peter tells us that we're called to serve, and so we're to submit to one another. And we're to submit to those who are in leadership over us. And above all, we submit to God, to His commands. And we don't use our freedom as an opportunity to sin, but we are God's slaves. And the fascinating thing about being a slave of God is that that's the freest state of all for human beings to be in. Being obedient to God gives us ultimate freedom. Only those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ are fully set free from within to live the life that God has called them to live. The great reformer Martin Luther, way back in 1520, wrote a little booklet called On the Freedom of the Christian. And he began this booklet with this statement, and it was the theme of that entire book. He said, "A Christian man is the most free Lord of all and subject to none." Let that sink in. And then he said, "A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone." Let that sink in. It was both. And he backs it up with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." I'm free. I can do what I want to do. But in my freedom, I choose to serve others. And I choose to honor those in authority. And I choose to reveal Christ to them to win them to the Lord. Luther also discusses Romans 13:8. "Let no debt remain outstanding. Pay all your debts except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others fulfills the law." We live recognizing our continual debt to love. Why? Because the Lord has loved us so richly. And so, as free slaves, we obey out of strength, out of courage, out of wisdom, and not in love. And not out of weakness or fear or subservience. We're free. Now, the next point is this. We are to submit to those in authority with all respect. Understanding that we're free and servants, Peter commands, "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God." Living a new life in an old world includes being in submission and honoring those that are above us, even when the Bible says they are harsh. The word harsh comes from a Greek word scoliosis. Interesting? It means to be bent over or twisted, and it can also mean to be morally bent or crooked or unscrupulous. And sometimes your bosses will be scolioses. They're, inwardly, they're kind of bent, and you can feel that when you're interacting with them. There's something not quite right there. But Peter tells us we're to honor them and obey them. Now, we wouldn't obey them into dishonesty or illegal activity. We're to honor them. And Peter says, "But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing right and endure it, this is commendable before God." Peter expects us to live righteous lives. We're not to be punished for doing wrong. Rather, we follow Christ's example. "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." And so we're actually, as we are being gracious, obedient to a bent boss and suffer, it's commendable to God. We're acting righteously before God, and we will receive a reward, and His blessing will be upon us. But we're to look, we're showing forth the following the example of Christ. So how did Christ respond to injustice? Well, the Bible says he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. This is quoting from Isaiah 53:9. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus didn't sin. He kept his integrity. He didn't sin either in his words or his actions. He did all that he did was right. He also spoke truthfully. No deceit was found in his mouth. He even suffered silently. But when he spoke, it was always the truth. He said what was right. He didn't threaten or retaliate, even though he could have. He could have called upon his father to send down 10,000 angels and wipe them all out. But rather, he returned evil with good. He prayed for those who were killing him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he committed himself to God, trusting that God would deliver him in time, and that God would vindicate him. Why did Jesus suffer and submit? He was doing it for us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That is such a powerful and beautiful passage. This morning I was looking at my sermon and I said, you know something? That passage deserves a sermon. And so we're going to do that, okay? Right, now we're just going to go by that and just say this. He died to set us free from slavery to sin. Jesus could have destroyed his foes, but he patiently endured humiliation for our sake. So how do we respond? Reveal Christ to others in the workplace through biblical integrity and submission, trusting God in every situation. And if you're retired or if you have another, or your own boss, you can just substitute, reveal Christ to others, you know, in your home or amongst your friends, through biblical integrity and submission, trusting God in every situation. Let your life reveal Christ. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. We reveal Christ to others by the way we respond in the workplace. When an employer is being unkind, maybe perhaps because you're a Christian, or maybe just because they're a mean person, and they're treating you just like they treat everyone else, not nice. When they see you respond with grace, with honor, with freedom, and you obey, they take note. You're revealing Christ in your life. It bewilders them. And they'll do one of two things. There could be other responses, but one is they could just get mad for, you know, because they don't know what to do with it. But your life becomes a crossroads for them. And they got to deal with it. Are they going to repent and change or keep on living the way they're going to live? There'll be continual light in the darkness. And by God's grace, they'll come into the light. It forces them to make a choice. And so, they'll be recognizing the Lord speaking to them, what you're doing is wrong. And you say, what you're doing is wrong, and I'll do right. Next, live with biblical integrity. We need to submit to others out of fear of God in freedom and not out of fear of people. This is very important. It's part of our freedom as Christians. When a boss tells us to do something and is commanding us around, we don't obey because we have to or because we're afraid or because we're afraid of getting fired. Because if we do that, it will cloud our judgment. Rather, we obey trusting God in freedom, trusting God to take care of everything. You see, if we walk in fear of getting fired, it'll cloud our judgment when it comes to doing what is right. No, we are free men, submitting to God. So if our boss asks us to do something that's sinful or wrong, we can't. But if he asks us to do something that this is not, we joyfully obey. But if our boss asks us to do something wrong, God always pulls rank. Remember, we're submitted as unto the Lord. Nicky Gumbel tells a story I love about a man named Gibbo. He was retired when Nicky knew him. He had began his career as a lowly clerk at a very high-end chain of department stores in the United Kingdom called Selfridges. And he worked directly for the founder, Gordon Selfridge. And there was a time when Gordon was at his desk and he answered a phone call, and it was for Gordon Selfridge. And he said, "It's for you, sir." And Selfridge said, "Tell him I'm not here." And Gibbo handed him the phone and said, "Sir, you tell him you're not here." Well, Selfridge took the phone call. When he got off, he was furious at Gibbo. And Gibbo said this, "Sir, if I can lie for you, I can lie to you. And I never will." Because of that interaction, Gibbo became one of Selfridge's most trusted employees and rose to a high position in the company. Now, will it always go that well? No. But our integrity does release God's blessing in our lives. And integrity was so deeply ingrained in Gibbo that he instinctively did what was right in the moment. Because he was called not first to submit to this powerful boss, but to God. He was free. Of course, if you're an employer, you should live with the utmost integrity yourself in how you run your business and how you treat your employees. As Paul said in Ephesians 6:9, speaking to masters, he said, "Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven." And he shows no favoritism. And then, in addition to living with biblical integrity, we need to live with biblical submission. As we mentioned, biblical submission is not simply obeying, it's obeying God. And when we obey authority, we do it as unto the Lord. And it's not subservience, where we obey out of a bitter spirit or because we must, but it's a genuine honoring and respecting the one in authority. We're never victims as believers. See, we're always entrusting ourselves with God, and He's powerful, and He's going to work it out. So if your boss unfairly criticizes you, what do? You're truthful. You're honest. You're bold. You're courageous. You're respectful. "Sir, I understand you have concerns. What can I do to help you and this company succeed?" Every circumstance will be different, but in every way we come without fear of the future, confidence in God and trusting Him. Maybe your boss is being demanding. He's asking you to do more than you can do. He's asking you to spend long hours at work. You come in openness and honesty, not grumbling, coming to Him in honor, explaining to Him your circumstances and your limitations, and humbly saying, "Sir, I will give you my all when I'm here at work, and I believe you will find me as productive as anyone, perhaps one of your best employees. But I have a family, and because they're my highest responsibility, I can't stay every night till 8 p.m. Now, what's going to happen? You trust God. And you're honoring. Maybe your boss asks you to cheat. "Sir, I honor you as my leader, but because I'm submitted to God, I can't do this." We show forth Christ. I was so blessed when I was talking to my daughter Laura's boss, a former boss, when she was in in Los Angeles, high-ranking person in the company, and he said to me when he met me and found out who I was, he said, you know, your daughter is our conscience. And you know, at times, bosses can just be difficult. Controlled by power, self-interest, or even political forces. You may do what is right, and it may result in even more persecution. You may risk being fired. See, that brings us to this last point. Something that Jesus also did. We entrust ourselves to God. Entrust yourself to God. That's what Jesus did when he was unjustly treated. And sometimes we'll be unjustly treated. And there is a court of appeals. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we trust ourselves to him. Gibbo could have gotten fired, but he trusted himself to God to provide for him even if he was. We may suffer, but God will reward and vindicate us in the end. Entrusting ourselves to God is crucial to submission. It allows us to truly be free. And if we're not entrusting ourselves to God, we can be tempted to cut corners. Cut corners to get sales. Cut corners to get a promotion. Cut corners to keep the boss happy or to prevent retaliation. We entrust ourselves to God. Faith is a powerful part of our walk in Christ Jesus. It's central. And we say, I will do what's right, and I don't know what's going to happen, but God will be with me through it all. Reveal Christ to others in the workplace through biblical integrity and submission, trusting God in every situation. And as we do that, people will take note, something different, and His light will shine through us. You know, the workplace can be such a hard environment. There's so many conflicting environments, issues. And I know we can't cover everything here today, but we can cover the broad principles. We must choose beforehand that we're going to live with righteousness and integrity and with right biblical submission, and that we're going to entrust ourselves to God. We choose that beforehand. So like with Gibbo, when that thing happens in the moment and we have to make a quick decision, we've already decided, I trust God, I'll live with integrity. The boss tells us to do something. We don't like it, but it's not illegal. We say, I will obey because I'm obeying God. And right away, we transfer that to God and say, I'm obeying you, Lord, as I obey my boss. Changes the whole attitude, the whole spirit. We need to do this beforehand. We live radically different than this world does. And one of the reasons why we can live so radically different is because we're not living for this world. We're living for the world to come. The Lord has given us a wonderful salvation. We're just passing through, and we want to live in such a way that will bring Him glory and bring as many people with us on the way to glory. Our glory that we're going to be experiencing. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We should be the best workers, the most honoring, the most patient, and kind, and the most courageous, and those with the greatest integrity. Let your light shine before men. Let's pray. Father, this whole issue of submission, it goes against our flesh, and it goes against our prevailing culture. But Lord, we're submitting to you, and we're submitting in freedom, and we're powerful in Christ, and you will provide for us. We entrust ourselves into your hands. And Lord, some of us have been wrongly treated in the past. Lord, even as the Lord Jesus prayed, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Let us forgive those who have wronged us, for that will set us free in our hearts. Father, some of us are in difficult situations at work. May we shine as a light. Give us wisdom and stir us and give us grace to work as unto you, to be some of the finest employees that our employer has ever known. Lord, each of us face different circumstances, maybe in a school place, military setting, whatever it may be, Father. And sometimes we'll be wronged. But Lord, we entrust ourselves to You, that You will provide for us in our life now all that we need and in the life to come. And as we obey You and follow You, Lord, in the freedom of Christ, we will know joy and peace. We will truly be free, for the Son has set us free. Hallelujah. To You be glory. We entrust ourselves to You, Lord, our God and our King. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.